Welcome to the fifth annual Recovery Today series, where I interview some of the greatest transformational leaders, experts, and authors of our time. Whether you're new to recovery, have long-term recovery, or are a professional in the recovery space, this summit is for you. And recovery, remember, is no longer for those just struggling with alcohol or drugs. It can be any of us with obsessions and compulsions, whether it's food or shopping, procrastination, the internet, debting, codependency, or work. So please join me tonight as I introduce today's guest, Julie Mehta. She's going to be talking about breaking the recovery mold. Julie is married, a mother of three, in long-term recovery, and has worked in the field of addiction for over 14 years. She is the contributing editor-in-chief at Sober Mommies and executive director of the Massachusetts-based 501c3. Julie writes full-time at Next Life Kids. How do you say that?
Next Life No Kids.
Oh, nextlifenokids.com. nextlifenokids.com. About parenting with mental illness after trauma and finding humor in the wreckage. Her weekly podcast, The Real Deal, Recovery Talk with Julie and Veronica, addresses what happens when recovery stops being nice and starts getting real. Julie is a fierce advocate for the recovery movement and believes everyone is entitled to support and encouragement regardless of their personal recovery choices. So today, again, I'm so grateful to bring you on to this summit, Julie. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be a part of this.
Oh, me too. I love what you're doing specifically for Sober Mommies. And right off the bat, I'm curious what you mean by personal recovery choices. In other words, different paths to recovery?
Correct. So we, at Sober Mommies, we celebrate and acknowledge any and all pathways to recovery. So not just 12 steps. We absolutely provide resources and encouragement to our moms who decide to get well in any way, shape, or form.
So why specifically Sober Mommies? Was that your story around getting sober?
Yes. I have been a mom since I was 17 years old. As a result of looking for love in all the wrong places. And I got sober when I was 22, and I did not have physical custody of my daughter because of the choices that I had made while drinking. Mm. And it was very difficult to maneuver the system and court and all that stuff, and I didn't feel empowered because of the choices that I had made, because of the life that I had lived. And I didn't have anyone in my corner kind of in the specific ways that I needed in order to push me to, you know, do all the things to get, you know, that I was worthy of custody, that I was worthy of having my daughter in my life, that I was worthy of all of those things. And I tried my best within the space to, you know, let women know that they're absolutely, you know, these choices that we make during active addiction do not make us bad moms or terrible women. They make us, you know, we're suffering with something that's out of our control and making decisions based on that. And so recovery can offer not only freedom from, you know, that addiction, but also open the door for this amazing life. And so, you know, I struggled with feeling worthy of that life. And so I basically created a space where women, no matter where they are on the spectrum of recovery, could find that voice that could tell them, you know, that reassuring, encouraging, you're on the right path, you're doing the right, you know, whatever is needed mm-hmm. in order to embrace this wonderful life that's possible.
Yeah, it's sort of like you've become like an advocate for and sort of like eliminating the shame around being a mom and having, you know, had some wreckage and now moving for helping people move forward in their life.
Yes, that's exactly what I am. I'm an advocate and also encouraging peer-to-peer recovery support. So we have a group where women, basically it empowers women to understand that day one, second one to, you know, 1,000 years of recovery, you have something to offer another person.
I'm so with you. I sounds like you might have been a single mom.
I was a single mom until, yes, early on I was a single mom, yes, for the first 12 years of my daughter's life.
Yeah, I was a single mom too, and it was back in the 80s, mid-80s, and there wasn't a whole lot of support in those days. And so I totally get what you're saying. And then the other piece that you said when you said looking for love in all the wrong places, I'm sure that the component that you also work with these women is that love addiction piece, because often that goes with, you know, that often goes with the wrong relationships, right? Or it often goes with alcoholism. And nobody really talks about that, right? They're just talking about the alcohol. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. So codependency.
Go ahead.
Codependency. I was, oh my goodness, like the tumultuous relationships I stayed in early recovery, just because of all this shame and guilt and this, like, you know, this person loves me no matter what, and so I can never let them leave no matter how poorly they treat me, for years into sobriety, you know.
Oh yeah, I get that. I had multiple marriages, and my shame, you know, was more about being married multiple times and being, you know, oh, I'm a single mother, and you know, this person's going to kind of fit the, you know, kind of fit the family illusion or delusion that I had, you know.
Right.
And
it's a big
issue that isn't talked about enough. So I'm glad that you're bringing that out. I mean, it's so funny because when I blog, I get more responses from my codependency blog than I do from my just, you know, recovery blogs. So it's a huge issue alongside recovery. So you speak a lot about the fact that recovery is not a box. And so tell me what you mean by that.
So I feel like I got sober via a 12-step program, and I was kind of taught that this is the way. Like, this is the only way to do this. I went through the 12 steps and I got all, you know, I maintained my recovery. And something happened to me when I was about 8 years sober that kind of separated me from this 12 step family that I had grown so dependent on. And I started to seek other ways, you know, other, recovery paths, other avenues. And I was treated as if I was doing something wrong, that someone was waiting for me to slip up or looking for a reason to drink, or, you know, and I was just basically, I was expanding my recovery. I was reaching further than the halls. I was reaching, you know, and I needed something more. I was, with my youngest son, I struggled ridiculously with, debilitating postpartum depression, anxiety and OCD, which also resulted in agoraphobia. And so I was stuck in my home, not, you know, at the point where I wasn't even letting my husband hold my baby, because that's how it was so loud and in my face all the time. And I was calling my recovery support, and they were saying, well, when's the last time you went to a meeting? And I was saying, well, it's been a while, because I'm stuck in my house and there's a lot going on here. And it was kind of drilled into me at that time that the problem was of my own making, because if I could only get out, and if I could only get to a meeting, if I could only, you know, step out of this, that I would be okay. And I was saying somewhere in my mind, thank goodness I'd been in recovery for so long. Thank goodness I wasn't kind of brand new, because I knew that that wasn't accurate. Like, I knew that a part of me knew that it was okay for me to try something different, and that I needed to, and that my solution could not have been a meeting, because I couldn't get there. So if that had been the only solution, I would have been in big trouble. And I'd actually started Googling all of these, you know, resources, and I couldn't find anything for someone in my situation, someone who had long-term recovery and was struggling in this way. And I decided to create this space, because I also thought of how many women are out there right now who avoid 12-step programs for whatever reason, who are, you know, living productive lives, who are out there in the community, living every day, you know, focused on themselves, changing, growing, all this stuff, who don't have that support that I did because of, you know, I got to call somebody if I wanted to drink, or I had phone numbers, a list of phone numbers that I could call. Who do they call? Like, who, you know, this woman who decides one day that she's going to have she wants to have a healthier relationship with alcohol, or she wants to stop drinking altogether. Who does she call on Thanksgiving when everyone in her family is drinking at the table? You know, is there anyone that she calls? So I created a space.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I created the space for that woman, for these women, and for myself. And when I talk about the box, there is no, people's recovery is very personal to them. You know, it's not for me to dictate ever what someone else's recovery is, should be, or shouldn't be. And so what I've learned over the past, let's see, almost 4 years of running Sober Mommies is that recovery comes in many different forms. There are also many levels, and it's just, you know, there is no box. There's no box labeled recovery that we get to try to jam people into. And I think that happens a lot in the recovery space. I think that people are saying, well, this is recovery, and if you don't fit this mold, then you shouldn't use that word. You're not in recovery. And I say, no. I say that you're in recovery when you say you're in recovery, and it may not look like mine, and I may not even be able to identify or understand or, you know, agree with what you're doing, but that doesn't give me the right to judge your recovery or undermine any of the work that you have done to get where you are today.
Yeah, I'm so with you, girlfriend. I totally get it. You know, as a licensed therapist, you know, one of the first rules that we learn is we meet our client where they're at. And absolutely, right. many people aren't ready to embrace the 12 steps. You know, one of the things that ABS alcoholics often deal with is social anxiety. And so they don't even, you know, they always say, well, I don't want to go to a big group. It's really overwhelming. I don't speak against the 12 steps. I think that it is a great foundation, but it doesn't fit everybody's story. And then the other thing is sometimes they can start another type of program or therapy or group, and then maybe that will, you know, move them into a 12 step. You know, maybe they'll start one place and then they'll end up at 12 steps. I mean, it really doesn't matter as long as they have some type of, to me, the most important thing is community. It's just like when I was a single mom, I joined a single parent group because I felt so alone back in the 80s. And so it's the same thing with recovery. You want to feel like you have other people that are, you know, sharing your story. So I love what you're doing because you're providing another path for someone who may not be quite ready to step into the 12 steps, or like your story, you were in it for 8 years and you were stuck and you needed something more. I mean, I think that's great. I love that. So obviously this really had a lot to do with your own experience, maybe feeling a little bit shame because you couldn't leave the house, you couldn't get to the meeting, and all you were hearing was, get to a meeting. Have you read the big book today? In other words,
right.
And again, I'm not knocking that because I think that it does work for countless people. But for you, it sounds like that was what brought you to this space of Sober Mommies.
Yes. Well, because it's not quoting some literature when someone's having a human experience, while I understand that the person may have the best intentions, it's not a very human response to a human situation. So if I call you and I say, I'm having a really hard time right now. I just had the baby. I'm feeling really depressed and isolated. I'm feeling, you know, all this stuff. If someone starts quoting that acceptance is the answer to all of my problems today, I'm going to think twice before picking up the phone the next time, you know? And that, while I understand that there is a time and place and the book is great and it helped me in so many ways, there is a more human way to relate to people than quoting like scripture, you know? Capacity. And if I'm, you know, there were times that I got into a really dangerous space. You know, I was really, you know, if I had seen myself, I would have been really, really worried about me. And so the actions that I was taking were calling people and telling them and being honest and letting myself out, if you will, like saying, like, listen, I'm praying. I'm, you know, and that was the thing too. People were saying, well, have you prayed about it? Have you tried meditating? And I'm saying, yes, I'm trying literally everything. I'm calling you, which is basically a last resort. And I had doctors trying to put me on medication for, you know, antidepressants. And I was in my head about it, but somewhere in my head I was saying, I should have the answer to this problem. I should be able to think my way out of this. I should have the tools. I do have the tools. Why can't this work? And I was trying my hardest before even picking up the phone and then having that person unknowingly confirm that I was just broken, that the problem is me and that I wasn't doing enough. And clinical depression, like whether it, you know, postpartum or whatever is not, you know, I can't think my way out of that. Like, I can't pray my way out of mental.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, so, they even say in the big book somewhere about, you know, if you need outside help, you know, absolutely seek it. I mean, I can't agree with you more. I mean, I have so many clients that come in and sponsors are working with them in a way that has nothing to do with going through the 12 steps. It's about their whole personal life beyond the 12 steps, their mental illness, their prescription medication. I mean, I've had clients come in and say, my sponsor is going to fire me if I take prescription drugs, or my sponsor is going to fire me if I don't get to a meeting 7 days a week. Well, you know, maybe this person has young children and can't get to a meeting 7 days a week.
Right.
I mean, there are, I find that to be really distasteful, and I think it really hurts a lot of people when we don't separate the different modalities. You've got 12 steps, you have therapists, you have psychiatrists, and you have other paths. And I think we need, I think that you're absolutely right, and I think you're onto something really important. My whole thing is I have a program called Wake Up Recovery, and it's all about law of attraction and sobriety, because I found when I brought up things other than, quote, God, like universal intelligence, infinite intelligence, or the universe, that spoke to a lot of people, and that worked, you know. And so maybe the law of attraction is similar to the 12 steps, in that you're putting out positivity and you're going to get positivity back. If it's maybe said in a different way, it may speak to somebody that isn't really getting it when they see the word God. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Absolutely. Well, and also the herd mentality can be triggering for people. Like, I had a woman, I was working with her in some capacity, but she was telling me that she had escaped a cult. She grew up in a cult, was raised basically in a cult, and she was told what to wear, how to act. You know, there were a lot of shoulds and should nots. And she had all this pressure to behave in a certain way, or to be kicked out, or to lose her entire family if she were to separate. Mm-hmm. And some of the tenets of 12-step recovery mirrored that in a bit, you know, for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she just couldn't get beyond that. And it wasn't my job to talk her into it. It was my job to understand her reasoning behind it and to help her work around it and through it, right? Like, I can't imagine, you know, and trauma does that. You know, trauma changes our brains.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, and for me, it wasn't until I worked the 12 steps and was practicing the principles in my affairs that I realized that I still had a tremendous amount of work to do.
Right. The 12 steps, you know, are the foundation, in my opinion, and it creates an opening for more work to be done. And I think you're absolutely right. And that is another important issue that you're bringing up. Trauma cannot be cured in a 12-step meeting. Trauma is something that you need to, for me, I mean, it's about getting the old toxic energy out of your body. You can't talk your way through healing trauma. It's more about energetically healing it. But, that's just, you know, my take on it. How is Sober Mommies different than typical recovery support groups?
So I think in typical recovery support groups, there's a base line, if you will. Like, there's a certain, like, everybody's kind of doing the same thing, whether that's 12-step or non-12-step, whether that's smart recovery, or, you know, whatever it is. And Sober Mommies, we connect on kind of the basis of recovery in all its forms. So we don't necessarily talk about just one thing. And I mean, within a group, it could be a topic, you know, we could talk about every single recovery pathway in one of our groups. We could have somebody who's working a 12-step program, somebody who is working smart recovery, someone who, I don't know, eats a banana every day so they don't shoot heroin. Like, we're basically encompassing all of whatever recovery looks like. And so we also don't use the words should, have to, or any of those. They're actually frowned upon. So I'm really, you know, I don't want it to be a room full of people telling each other what to do. I want it very much to be a room full of people who are encouraging the power that is inside each and every individual at the table. And that has been very welcomed. And so it has also given the opportunity for different people to learn different ways. So whereas, you know, there might be somebody at the table who despises 12-step recovery because they had a bad experience, or their sisters, brothers, aunts had a bad experience, they may hear a good experience and they may know, you know, they may not know anyone who has had a great experience with 12 steps. And so they actually, they're sitting across from somebody and they can put a face and a life, if you will, an experience to that. As well as, you know, there are many times that somebody who has just worked a 12 step program doesn't know anything about the fact that there are other, programs out there that are working well and, getting results. So it's a great way to, you know, share resources and also in a parenting aspect as well. So if somebody's struggling with court, if somebody's struggling with, an ex, partner or, you know, they're getting divorced or even getting married and sharing, those great experiences, we can all kind of join in and share resources because we all have such different experiences. And, you know, it's so nice to know that somebody has been there and also can, you know, say, you know, like, oh, you need a wedding photographer? I know somebody. Or, oh, you need a divorce lawyer? I know somebody.
Right, right.
Whatever that looks like. And oftentimes, there are women who may start the group without custody and then they regain custody at some point during their membership and it's stressful. And so where else can you talk about the stress of having your kids back in your life? Because of the shift, maybe you know, like me, I did not have custody of my daughter when I got sober and my routine for my recovery was very much in some cases absent of having a child to look after. And so once right. I got custody back of her, it blew everything out of the water. You know, I had to suddenly recreate my recovery and what that looked like. And the term any length changed drastically, you know, like what any, I was willing to go to any length, but it didn't mean what it did when I first got sober. It didn't mean the same thing. So I had to reevaluate where I was at in my life and in my recovery and what things were most important to me, like the ability to put my daughter to sleep. Like now I have two boys who are 8 and 5 and we have a routine at night where we lay in bed and they lay in my bed and I sing them two songs. And then we say prayers and then I sing the songs again and they drift off to sleep and then I put them in their beds. Like that's my routine. And, you know, most of the meetings that I was going to were, during the evening. And so that would have made that impossible. And that's something that's really, really important to me personally, in this journey is that I entered recovery because I wanted to be that kind of mom, you know, this kind of mom. And so and I don't want as much as, you know, I've heard people say, like, don't let the gifts of your recovery take you out or whatnot. I also think it's important to kind of embrace and encourage enjoyment and celebration of those gifts. And I don't know what that balance looks like for you, and nor should I be able to dictate what that might look like or should look like, but we each have our own, and finding balance in that arena has been a really long time coming for me. Like it's been about, you know, swinging on the pendulum, and finding comfort, you know, wherever, and then starting to swing again. I think that's the truth. That's the case for a lot of women, and men, obviously. But I think there's a special, you know, like being a mom is stressful in and of itself. Motherhood comes with all sorts of, you know, like it's not scripted. There's no instructions. Like we kind of just, you know, all this stuff. But being a mom in recovery comes with its own unique struggles to find time for self-care and balance, whatever the heck that means, you know, like I just feel
right,
like, you know,
right,
and we can
right.
all learn from each other. And so that's what Sober Moms is about. And just giving back.
Yeah, you're definitely offering so much more than what they can just find in a 12-step room. I mean, in other words, you're like a resource center, it sounds like.
Yes, very much.
Yeah. I mean, you're just so many things, and I can just tell your passion. I love your passion. I love your fierceness. I love you taking the stigma and the shame out of someone's story. And I love that you're taking the word should out of, the vocabulary because that is shaming. So what advice would you give a mother who is struggling to connect with services in her area?
I would strongly suggest finding a tribe, connecting with a tribe, whatever that looks like. Because while resources are so important, it's, you know, Google is awesome, but as I learned in my own experience, it's very impersonal, right? Like I'm Googling something that I need and I'm getting this list and all of that. But what I did in my experience, was that finding a tribe full of experience and resource and allowing them to help and guide me through whatever came down the pike was really where it was at, you know. And so for a long time, that was online. We do offer online support groups via Facebook that are secret. So you have to go through our website in order to get to the group.
Right.
But just to find your tribe, honestly, like I feel like that's the most important thing that I have done repeatedly. And sometimes that has changed. I have outgrown tribes and I have needed to find new, you know, a new path or a new ground to cover. But I have done my best to shift and, you know, keep swinging on that pendulum to find that comfort.
Exactly. Well, I mean, we're a work in progress, and sometimes, you know, something works 1 minute and the next minute it doesn't work, and we're growing. And so there's no shame in trying different things until we find something that speaks to us. So, again, I just love your honesty. I love your transparency. I think what you're doing is amazing. How can people find you, Julie, find your organization, et cetera?
So we're at SoberMommy.com. And we are on everywhere, basically. We're Facebook, at Sober Mommies, Twitter, at Sober Mommies, Instagram, you name it. God, that's overwhelming how many social media outlets there are. And then you can email me personally at julie@sobermommies.com. And if you're interested in joining the group, or, you know, people can contact me with questions. We also have a really great feature on the blog that is called Ask a Sober Mom. So if you have a question for, you know, about anything from, like, anything, parenting or recovery related, and you feel like you don't feel necessarily comfortable asking the people in your tribe, you can send me an email and I will get that question answered for you. Either if I don't have the answer, I will find it for you and we'll get it out there for you.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, thank you, Julie, again, for doing this interview. Do you want to leave one thought, you know, before we close, just the one inspiring word of hope for maybe a mommy out there that is struggling or has sobriety but is stuck? Anything you'd like to say?
I would like to say that you're worth it. No matter what you've been through, no matter what you've done, no matter what anything or anyone says or thinks about you, you are absolutely worth every action taken to make your life and situation better. And I really hope that you'll take that first step.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you, Julie, again. And please, you know, look for Julie. She's all over Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, SoberMommies.com, I assume is your website.
Yes. And the Next Life, Next Kids is like kind of like it's a different kind of a humorous kind of mental illness kind of a blog. It's a little lighter.
Okay, you got it. All right, thank you everybody for another amazing Recovery Today series interview, and thank you. I'm so grateful you were here with us today and with Julie, and I will look forward to being on the next call with you.